Friends, I was 14 years of age. We were at the Royal National Park at Audley, and we were rowing and we were swimming and we were jumping in and out of boats. And about four guys on my boat, and one of the guys, Michael, who was about 16, a little bit older than us, been swimming around, all of a sudden sunk in the water. There were some weeds, and he had a cramp, and he went under. And we panicked. We were in the boat. And so we call out to our teacher, who was our youth leader. I went to a group where there was one teacher who was a youth leader with 30, 40 kids. And we said, "Daryl, Michael's gone under." We were waving at him. He thought we were mucking about, just playing around. We said, no, he's under. He hasn't come back up. He came up once and tried to struggle, and he went back under. Couldn't see him. 3 or 4 seconds feels like a lifetime when that happens, let me tell you. And finally, Daryl went in and he dived under. And he was under for a period of time. Then he came out and back up without Michael. And we were praying and were hoping and didn't know what to do sitting in the boat. And he went back under a second time. He was under for a period of time. He came back up, took a breath. Again, no Michael. He went down a third time. We waited and waited. As he came up, he dragged Michael with him. Moved him across, put him into the boat, took him to the side, alive. And all of a sudden, the fun that we were having stopped for a moment. And all of a sudden, we realized that at 14 or 15 or 16, our life could end like that, and we needed to be ready for eternity. It was a few weeks later on a Friday night. Daryl, our youth leader, said to a whole bunch of teenagers, we were 14, 15, 16, we're all high schoolers, and he said, he was quite distressed. We said, "What's wrong?" He said, a young kid who used to be in his primary school had just been hit by a car and had died that week. And besides being distressed, he said, "I was distressed for you guys." He said, "You guys come every Friday night, we play cricket, we have games, I take you on camps, I take you on bushwalks, we go rowing, we do all these things. You've heard about the message of Jesus for about 2 years now. You know the message that Jesus is God's son who died and rose again. You know it, you've heard it, you like it, but not one of you has taken the step to believe in Jesus." He said, "And if it was you that got hit by that car at that point, you would have been lost for eternity." He said, "I don't know how long you'll keep hearing the message," he said. "But somewhere after hearing it, like some of these young people said today, you've got to make a choice of decision. Yes, Jesus is God's son who died and rose again, and it's worth following him, or no, he isn't, and you walk away. And you suffer the consequences of that." We thought, "Oh, that's a bit serious that Friday night," we thought. We're going, "Wow, this is like some matter of life and death. This leader really believes it's a matter of life and death. If you don't believe in Jesus and you die, you get separated from God for eternity, what the Bible calls hell. But if you believe in Jesus, he forgives all of your sins and sees you as perfect, and he takes you to heaven, not because you're good, but because Jesus is good and he died on a cross in your place." As we grasp hold of that truth, that reality, a number of us in the next few months gave our life to Christ. It's scary to say, but I've been living as a follower of Jesus for 40 years now. Amen. Thanks. As my Lord and my Saviour, who's given meaning and purpose and direction like nothing else. Now, four people are going to be baptised, have said they were lost, they realised that they had failed to live rightly, but Jesus has taken their punishment on the cross, and they've now received him into their lives. They are saved by grace. That means it's a free gift. They don't earn it. They don't deserve it. It's all grace. It's all free. It's all God. If you want to know what a Christian is? Someone who trusts God completely, and it's all him who makes it possible. You had a really short Bible reading today, so it's going to be a short sermon, right? Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Four key principles that come out of that. Let me just run you through that. Number one, the first certainty in life is death. He says man is destined to die once. That means man and woman is destined to die once. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because we rebel against God, go our own way, death is part of the human experience. Correct? We've just seen the terrible terrorist attacks in Paris. I was there 4 weeks ago. walking along those same streets, and I could have been in one of those areas just eating, and some guy comes in with some guns and starts shooting people or throwing bombs. Victor was a young guy who visited our church last year. He came and saw us. He was a Christian young man, about 30 years of age, I think. And he said, listen, guys, I'm hoping to come back after my trip to Europe and join one of your Bible study groups. Victor went overseas, visited his brother in Germany, and I think went to Russia as well, and a couple of camps. And he got on an aeroplane, flight MH17, a Malaysian airline, from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. It was shot down over Ukraine on the 17th of July, 2014. He was in this church, so I'm just going on holidays, and I'll come back and join a Bible study group. His plane was shot out of the sky. Spent days with his family afterwards, went to his funeral when they found some body parts when they can run a funeral a year later. But see, Victor trusted in Christ. And when he got taken out of the air like that, he went into the presence of Jesus. But man is destined to die once. That's the truth. One of my friends, Con, he went on a farm at school, a guy I used to go to school with, and there's a guy called James. He was in my year at school, and these guys used to go shooting on their farm. And so 18 or 19 years of age, they went shooting. There's a bit of an argument. A guy pulls out a rifle. Don't ask me to describe the guns. I know nothing about guns. They're just guns that kill people. He pulls out some rifle. He said, if you don't move out of the way, I'm going to shoot you. The guy was standing behind a ute. As he raised his head from the ute, the shot blasted his head, led to his death. His brother was next door to him, just over there at the same place. I've never seen these tough, big guys feel so weak. My cousin came home, and they were different. His father, as I went to the funeral, would wear a black armband. Because you see, he didn't know Jesus. As hard as it was, there was no hope for him. He didn't know Jesus. His father, he'd wear a suit anywhere he went with a black armband, weeks and months and years afterwards, a sense of loss without any hope. I can tell you story after story of people at 18 or 19 or 20 or 16, all different ways, being hit by a car, having cancer, or drowning in a beach. Like one of my friends, Con, decided to go swimming when the beach was closed with his mate. They both went into, I think it was Bondi or Bronte, a number of years ago. They both went out, only one made it back. One moment you think, we're just going to have a bit of fun. The next moment, life comes to an end. Friends, there is no escape from death. It can come at any moment. The Bible says man is destined to die once. And something about death is it's a great leveler. What do I mean by that? Rich or poor, you end up the same, right? There was a story about a 4th century philosopher named Diogenes. He was looking at a collection of human bones piled one on top of the other. Alexander the Great, a great leader in the past. He stood nearby him and he said, Diogenes, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm searching for the bones of your father, but I cannot seem to distinguish them from those of the slaves. The great leader, Alexander the Great, or the slaves. At the end, death is a great leveler. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many homes you have. It doesn't matter how many places you've traveled to in the world. At the end, you die and you face God. Man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Second certainty of life is we must face judgment. In other words, when you die, you come in the presence of Almighty God. You're either ready to meet him or you're not ready to meet him. If you're ready to meet him, then he accepts you into his heaven. If you're not, then you suffer his judgment. The Bible says in Acts 17, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, Jesus Christ. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. How do we know there's a judgment? How do we know there's life after death? Because God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. Jesus is alive today. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And it's in the evidence. You can check it out for yourself. He was dead. He was in a tomb. He was no longer there. He appeared to his disciples. He was alive. And Jesus said, I'm coming back. There is a judgment. Friends, a few years ago, there was a story in the press. Listen to this. About a man who was finally arrested after a long stint of lighting fires. It's one of these firebugs who went from place to place, set up a fire, another fire, another fire, another fire. And he didn't know that the police were close to capturing him. He had lit 76 fires over the years, causing more than $16 million worth of damage, making him the world's most notorious, or the nation's most notorious serial arsonist. Searching for clues, the police had released a profile of the suspect to the general public, And his own father, George, read about it in a local paper. As he read a description of what had taken place and the car he drove, he went, the father thought, this is my son who's done it. And the father went to the police. His father loved him, his son. He loved him deeply, but he was going to ensure that justice took place. Just because he loved him didn't mean he was going to let him off. Love meant that a judgment had to take place. And you see, Paul, the firebug, the arsonist, didn't know that he was going to face the police until they arrested him. He didn't know that his time was almost up. And some people are in the same position before God. They think, I'll just do my own thing. It won't matter. God won't know. I can get away with anything. And all of a sudden, God says, no, your time is up. You're before me for judgments. Now, friends, let me say, I think a few people have said tonight in the testimonies, sin is not just doing a wrong thing or lying or cheating. It's rebellion toward God. It's saying, I will run my life my own way. I will be on the throne of my life. Looking at your T-shirts there. That's essentially sin. I will run my life. Don't you tell me, God, how to run my life. I don't want the politicians telling me how to run my life. I don't want my parents telling me how to run my life. I don't want God telling me how to run my life, right? That's the essence of sin. We raise our fist at God and say, it's my life, I'll do what I like. And then one day, our life comes to an end. We face a holy God. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter who you are, how good you are, how bad you are, you fall short of God's perfect standards. And we are on a collision course with a holy God. You may have heard about the story about the great oil tanker. Listen to this. Picture this massive oil tanker in the ocean. It's cruising along one day when a blip registers on the radar screen and sees it. And as you know, tankers are big. Tankers don't move for anyone. And they're just moving ahead. So they send a message out. The captain radios a message. On collision course, change direction, over. He's speaking to the other person, the other boat. Then the response comes back, negative, will not change our course, over. Mystery caller's not cooperating. All right, okay, here they go. The captain was surprised that he got a response like that. So then he said again, it's imperative you change course. We are a large tanker, over. Reply comes back, negative. We are a lighthouse, over. not moving. And I think there's a lesson here for each of us. Most of us, I know I've done it in my life, I act like the tanker, that I can do what I like and everyone else can move out of the way. And God, however, is like the lighthouse. Here's the true fixed point. Must ultimately change course or face a disastrous collision with him and certain death and judgment. But friends, the good news is that we've referred to multiple times is that the third certainty of life is this. Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people, the Bible says. When he died on a cross 2,000 years ago, he did it for our sins, my sins, your sins, because he loves us deeply. God doesn't want you to run into have a collision course with him and not be forgiven. God wants you to meet him and be ushered into his presence. So when I die, I want to die. And then Jesus says, welcome home, son. Don't you want that? And that's what God desires of us, that we are ready to meet him. We're not rebels, we're not enemies, but we're friends. And because Jesus died in our place, took the punishment that we deserved, we have that opportunity. There's a public speaker a number of years ago who, quite a famous one for many years ago, in fact, when a few years after he was married, his wife died. And his young 66-year-old daughter couldn't understand why mum had to die. And she said to him, Daddy, you told us Jesus died for us. Why didn't mummy have to die? And he's trying to work out, what do you say to a 6-year-old? Jesus died for us. Why didn't mummy have to die? He said they were on the way to the funeral, parked at some traffic lights, and the sun was shining. And there was a huge truck ahead of them. It said the truck cast a huge shadow across the road. So there they are, see the truck, there's the sun, there's a shadow across the road. And he thought, I've got it. He said to his 6-year-old daughter, honey, if you had to be run over, would you rather be run over by that truck or by the big shadow of the truck? She said, well, I'd rather be run over by the shadow because the truck would hurt a lot. Smart kid, right? He said, baby, that's sort of what Jesus did for Mummy when he died on the cross. He accepted the truck of God's judgment so that only the shadow went over Mum. Only the shadow went over Mum. Friends, that is the good news of the Christian gospel. That Christ has already died for us. And therefore, only when we die, the shadow comes over us and we're sent into the presence of Christ. Jesus lovingly, sacrificially, accepted the truck of God's judgment so that only his shadow would fall on us. Friends, it was 2001. I remember this story, I've never forgotten it. There were two girls on a Duke of Ed camp. They were both 15 years of age. They were at a campsite called Crosslands. I remember it because I'd run a camp there many years ago. It's at Hornsby Heights. Both girls were Christians. One was called Caitlin Twible. The other girl was called Carrie Yu. I remember the story because Caitlin Twible, I knew her grandparents who went to the church with me at Springwood Baptist. There they are in the news, two 15-year-olds. They're camping, there's a storm, the tree collapses and lands on their tent and kills them. Okay? Tree falls, kills them instantly. And there was a newspaper article about them. And one of them said this, Carrie Yu had written in her diary to God, thank you that my time on earth is running short so that I can go to you. Another time she wrote, thank you that I can go to be with you when my physical body ceases to work. Thank you for giving me the opportunity on earth to serve you. And at both funerals, as tragic and tragic as it was, two young 15-year-olds be taken so early, there was hope and confidence that with Jesus, because Jesus had already died for them. And both girls were able to say, as we've been singing tonight, right? Is Christ enough? If I get taken out tomorrow and I go straight to heaven, is Christ enough? I'm looking at my daughters now, my wife. These young girls were ready. That's not to say that it wasn't great pain for their parents, their brothers and their sisters and their youth group friends and their school friends, everything else. There is pain and sorrow in all of that when they trusted in Christ. And the fourth certainty is that Christ will return to bring salvation. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, because he's already borne the sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I'm saying to you, are you ready for him? If Christ comes back before you die, are you ready? If he appears today and says it's judgment day today, are you ready? Do you have peace with God? Do you have a relationship with him? Or are you still making a decision? Are you still sitting on the fence? People say to me, well, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. And a lot of people say, I'm sitting on the fence. Well, the fence belongs to the devil. It doesn't belong to God. Get off the fence. Let me say to you, you may need to get off the fence today. You think, I've been thinking about it. Should I become a Christian? Shouldn't I? You've heard the testimonies. You've heard God's word. Christ is coming back. He's made salvation possible. You're on the fence. You've heard this message. You know enough. All right? You know enough. And maybe today is your chance to say, I want to put Jesus first. I want to be ready. I'm not going to put it off any longer. Death is certain. Judgment is certain. Christ dying for you is absolutely certain. And he's coming again is certain. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word, the Bible says, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Get it? You already possess it when you believe in him and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. At the age of 14, I crossed over from death to life, became a follower of Jesus Christ, no longer going to hell, but going to heaven because of Jesus. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath, for God's anger remains on him. There's only two choices. There's no fence. Believe or don't believe. There's no fence. 1 John 5, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you want life? You want meaning and purpose and direction in your life? Have Jesus. Invite him into your life. Say sorry for your sins. Invite him to be your Lord and Savior. and start life again as a child of the living God. What an amazing message. You know, I don't tire telling people that message. For 40 years, I've been telling people that message. Some didn't like it at all. They said, "You're an idiot. Don't believe any of that stuff," right? Others said, "Well, tell me some more." And others have said, "Yes, I want to give my life to Jesus." The Bible says, in conclusion, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for another day. Don't wait for later tonight. Don't wait for tomorrow or the next week or 3 years' time. Don't wait until you're 85 and you think you've had a good life and then you'll become a Christian. Why waste 85 years? Become a Christian as early as possible. Have Christ in your life and live with meaning and purpose like never before. I want to pray as I conclude and just ask God to touch our lives and to encourage us to put our faith in Him. Lord God, we thank You for this wonderful message that Christ died for us, that we could live forever with Him. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We didn't deserve any of this. We are sinners and rebels, and Lord, You know our hearts. We know our hearts. But we thank You that because of Your grace, Your undeserved favour, we can now become Your people. We thank You for the young people who are being baptised, who've testified to trusting in You. There are many other young people and adults who have trusted in You. But Lord God, I pray humbly before You tonight for those sitting in this congregation today who have not yet made that decision. Maybe they're running from You, Lord God. Maybe they're hurt because of something that's happened in the past. Maybe they're angry. Lord, soften their hearts. Remind them how much You love them and how You want to live with them now and for eternity. Lord, I dare to pray that there'll be some tonight who will say yes to Jesus and give their lives to Him. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.